To introduce Pamela Kulbach, who's from the School of Nursing at University of Virginia, and the title of her presentation is Translational Community-Based Participatory Research for Youth Substance Use Prevention in a Rural Community, Methodological Issues. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, and again, thank you all for staying with us at 4:30 in the afternoon. I want to acknowledge my colleagues from Virginia Tech and Carilion who are not with us and have worked with us on this project and two prior projects on youth tobacco prevention, and then two colleagues who are in the audience, Eunhee Park, who's sitting here up front, is a doctoral student at the University of Virginia, and then Esther Thatcher, who's in the back, is ready to defend her dissertation come December. So. And I have no disclosures. So the aim of this study was really to look at effective youth substance prevention in a rural tobacco-growing county in the South, and we were using community-based participatory research. What I hope to emphasize are some of the analytic methods that you can use with CBPR, with that process, and some of the issues when you're really talking about multiple qualitative approaches. It's not a surprise to anyone in this audience that youth substance use is indeed complex. It's global and it's local, it's urban and it's rural. There are multiple risk and protective factors. And I think the environment is emerging as one of those factors of increasing importance, particularly when you look at the environment through the lens of the community. The health of rural adolescents is truly affected by substance use, tobacco use. They have higher rates of smokeless tobacco use, smoking, and of other substances. In addition to that, there are limited health and social resources available for the youth in these communities, for the families in these communities. And having the heritage of a local or tobacco growing region or county and tradition does have an influence. So this study was a study of 3 years in duration. We constituted what we called a community participatory research team, which had research members from Virginia Tech, Carilion, and the University of Virginia, as well as community leaders, parents, and youth from the community. We had four aims or phases of the study, and these ranged from establishing our advisory research team to doing the community assessment, designing a prevention program, and then actually piloting it. The logo you see there, Knockout Tobacco, was designed by one of the high school youths who was on the project with us the first year of the project. In terms of community-based participatory research, I know there's a lot that's been said about this and published about this. It truly is a way to build partnerships. It allowed us as a team to build partnerships across socioeconomic status within this very rural community, and it helped us to help them focus on assets and resources. It also truly allowed for us to share leadership with them in the process, and to do co-teaching and co-learning between and among the community researchers and the community members. Our researchers included public health nursing, human development and psychology, both from Virginia Tech and from the University of Virginia, an anthropologist who was our consultant from UCLA, a faculty member from the University of Virginia in architecture and urban planning, and her interest was truly in the built environment or environmental influences, and then a nurse from Carilion Clinic who was interested in pulmonary nursing and respiratory conditions. And in addition, we had the community members that I spoke of. Over the period of 3 years, we had 15 different youth. The youth would graduate and go off to community college or go off to college and leave their families. One youth actually has stayed with us through the project and is still in the community working on issues like this. This is a model that we developed for the project in preparation of the project and that we use to guide the work, our work. It builds on the assumptions of community-based participatory research, and it really allowed us to encourage engagement of the community members and the leaders in the community, from problem identification to dissemination of the results. The model, as you can see, shows multiple qualitative methods, from on your left, photo voice and picture taking to help express, give voice to the ideas of the youth and the parents, and then interviews of community leaders and group discussions. In addition, in that box in the center, we used GIS mapping. So we took the information that we collected in the process and used GIS mapping to display and analyze the data. I'm not experiencing, well, it may be allergies, but it's also that dry mouth syndrome, so apologies. No matter how long I do this, I still get the old dry mouth. Community assessment, that was the core of this work. Public health nursing community assessment. We worked with our CPRT, we used nominal group process. They helped us identify the interview questions that we used in the assessment process. We did the individual and group interviews, and community leaders and youth and parents on the team actually sat in with us and were co-interviewers of some individuals in the community. We audiotaped all of these interviews, and then we did a lot of analysis using constant comparative methods, trying to identify those factors that were risk and protective factors in the community. I'm just giving you kind of the bird's eye view or overview of the processes that we used. Photo voice or picture taking. This was one of our community assessment methods and analytical methods as well. Photo voice is really a way to give narrative, to do a photo narrative and to give voice to members of the community. It's often used in community assessment, but it helps people to share their beliefs, knowledge, and thoughts. And in this case, it was beliefs, knowledge, and thoughts related to youth substance use or non-use. So pride in their schools was an extremely positive factor. The tightness of social networks was extremely positive. Limited resources were recognized, and that was a negative factor that emerged. The importance of family connections, keeping problems within the family, however, was a strength and an asset in some instances, and then could be a negative in others. The community rallied around local sports events. Coaches were seen as role models. However, beyond sports, there may not have been a lot of activities for these youth within the community. We are in the Bible Belt. Church was really important for the youth and the family in the community. Role models emerged out of that religious community. Tobacco feels. Some said it had little influence. Others said it runs in my blood. It is the tradition in this family. And youth did not have to look far back in their family to identify smokers. Unsupervised gatherings in fields or houses or roads or lots, I think, relates to the fact that there are limited recreational activity. And there are probably 100 dirt roads or back roads that we never experienced, but the youth all know about within the community. This takes us to GIS and how we use geographic information systems. These are some of the categories that emerged out of the analysis that we did. So schools, home family, health facilities, police, transportation. These are the things that were important. That this is the data that emerged. And we tried to display this data in maps. And I know this is probably hard to read in terms of the detail, but you can see some places where teens might get jobs, or other places where they might find drugs and tobacco is being used, other places where the liquor store was, other places where they might party and use alcohol. So it's information that we got from the community and used it with our CPRT to validate and to ascertain if we were on the right track, if this information was valid, and how we might use this to design a prevention program. another display of geographic information system and some of the quotes. If you want to go see a movie or go to a restaurant, something you usually have to hop in a car, go at least 30 minutes or somewhere else to do that. So limited resources. And these maps became very useful to us and important in the process. The next phase of the study was literally to design or select a program with our participatory research team. So we identified effectiveness criteria, and we used a nominal group process with our CPRT to select the effectiveness criteria that they thought fit their community best. So we went through this process, and the fit might have been psychosocial factors, the importance of family, the importance of parenting would emerge as effective criteria. Then we tried to look at how we could tailor a program that might fit this community and the characteristics that we'd observed through our community assessment. We actually partnered with two or three organizations in the community, and then we delivered a training of the program to people in the community who then delivered the pilot intervention. So the program that they selected was Health Rocks. It's a 4-H program. And the logo is here for this 4-H. 4-H was a significant part of this rural community, an important part of this community. The extension agents at the Virginia Cooperative Extension were key people in the county, and they've helped us with all of our projects. I would strongly recommend that if you want to do rural work, to look for those extension agents in the counties. We had 36 participants who completed the evaluation. We had multiple sites. It was done during the summer, and one was a summer camp. Two others were summer school programs. And as I said, we trained 12 youth and parents who, in teams of two, delivered this intervention, this pilot intervention. We do have quantitative data from the pilot work. The participants were actively engaged. They thought it was interesting. They learned a lot from the program. And some of the qualitative data talks about youth engagement, the fact that it was easy and self-explanatory. It was easy for them to implement. It's a program that's available at any 4-H program across the country, and they provide the resources. It's inexpensive, it's easy to use, and it's interactive, so the kids get really engaged. There were activities for them to take home to their parents. There were activities for them to do to look around the community to get more information. And the community plans to use this program into the future. We had a community forum at the end to report back to our results to members of the community. And we talked a lot about the potential for sustainability. And as I mentioned, the folks who were trained are residents of the community. They're key people in the community, and at least one of them was a youth who is going on to a community college but has his roots in that community was interested in staying and working with the community. So we have high hopes that they are going to continue to use this program. We had it an advertisement or a news report in the local newspaper as well. So the challenges. In conclusion, CVPR is not an easy process. Using multiple qualitative methods in your research plan is not an easy process, and trying to sort of interweave those to be able to talk in a scholarly way, in a way that talks about value and meaning, none of that is easy. We have one publication so far from this work. And the challenge is to present all of this data in a way that will be interpreted correctly and be meaningful and contribute to science. One of the things I think we would like to do is replicate it again in a small county without the extent of funds and financial resources that we actually had. And I think that will be a challenge to be able to do that. But we have written a monograph of sorts that describes the procedure that we'll be using, and that's going to be the basis for future publications. So, thank you. Any questions? Yes. We have a GIS expert in the back of the room, and I should let Esther answer this question. She was instrumental in helping our team use this data, along with the faculty member from the School of Architecture, who was well-versed and taught GIS methods. Esther, do you want to talk? Thank you, Esther. Okay. Yes.
I'm just curious about the new concern about being ratted out. Sites for tobacco use might be not for sites for tobacco. Mm-hmm. So, was any concern with how to do social contracts to
the youth were completely engaged, and the parents were completely engaged with the youth, although we didn't have parent-child teams in our advisory group. When we did the interviews with youth and parents, we did those separately. And in those, the researchers only did the group interviews, the reason being that we wanted to have confidentiality in the event that the discussion led to something that became a more sensitive topic. We could assure at least the confidentiality of that small group or the privacy of that small group, and that it wouldn't go beyond that small group. So there was not an expression of concern from the youth. They did recognize and engage with law enforcement in the community, and in some ways in a positive way, and in others in a negative way. In some ways we learn that law enforcement turned a blind eye. In other ways we learn that law enforcement was sort of a mentor and a coach and someone who could help them out. So I think we got really good, honest data and local knowledge from the youth and the parents and the community leaders. And we tried to validate it along the way through these multiple approaches, through the advisory team, as well as the independent interviews of other youth and parents. Yes?
Yeah, I think one of the hardest things to do in participatory community research is to write up the funding.
Yeah.
And to write them in such a way that the community is presented in a positive light. Mm-hmm.
Well, I would say that I would validate what you're saying, because as I was preparing to do this, I could put together the outline, but when I thought, CBPR, assets and resources, but yet we did find some of the negatives in the areas that are more challenging and more difficult within the community. But I think, life is, right? Positives and negatives, that valence, the positive and negative pull, value expectancy. So I think that if we present it in the voice of the community members in the way that it was intended and don't add another layer of interpretation to it, if we're cautious not to sort of over-interpret, like the example of, were the youth afraid to out other people or that some information would be given? Well, from their perspective, everybody knew where, where to go and where they were. But how we frame that, what quotes we use when we present the qualitative data will be important, and that we don't sort of over-interpret or put a meaning on it that wasn't intended. Yeah. From the community as part of the writing team. Not this final piece, but I have been thinking about going back to the Virginia Cooperative Extension agent to see if she and we had a librarian, we had someone who was one of the high-level elected officials, and I think those folks, manuscript about this work, it would be good for us to put it before those folks and let them edit, contribute, and then potentially give them authorship, I think. Yeah. I have to stick with that. I have to do that. That's what I have to do. Yeah.